The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Football.
Domino's Best Deal Ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the rest disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
The Cup is down to its final matches, and DraftKings has you covered for every single one. The DraftKings app is now available in all 50 states, so whether it's a shootout, a penalty kick, or just a regular time decision, it all happens at DraftKings. The markets are bringing the game straight to your fingertips. Wherever you are, it's DraftKings. Get the Cup going. And for new DraftKings customers, sign up with my code KSR. Spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. That's the code KSR in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Canada. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Availability varies. Bet to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Trade to get $50 in predictions dollars that expire in 1 year. Issued every 7 days via click-to-claim for 21 days. One non-withdrawable reward redeemable. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends July 19th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
This is The Big Breakdown. A long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Two Duggar sons now face criminal allegations. One is serving federal time. The other is out on a $600,000 bond and barred from being alone with any minor children, including his own kids. The family's public image built on faith, discipline, and devotion. But the roots of this family go somewhere much darker. Amy Duggar King grew up in this world. She's Jim Bob's niece. She watched it all from close enough to see what the cameras never showed. And in her memoir, Holy Disruptor, she named the man the family never talked about. And that's where we're going to start today in our conversation. Her grandfather, Jimmy Lee Duggar, and the violence and the silence that started everything. Joining myself and Robin Drake is That woman, in fact, herself. Amy Duggar King, author of Holy Disruptor. Amy, thank you for watching the program. Thank you for reaching out and wanting to be here. I so greatly appreciate it. Robin does as well.
Oh, fanboy.
My goodness. Welcome. I feel like I know probably
thank
more
you so
more about you as a stranger than most people should from the book. But oh, my goodness. We got a lot to get into here today, and I want to just kind of peel the layers of the onion back and let's start.
I want to give her the best quote I loved in the entire book. I think it sets the stage for us really well. And this was, what is the truth and why is it so hard to find?
Yeah.
I love what you said there, Amy. So I thought it was a great intro for us to go down that road. What is the truth and why is it so hard to find? Great job.
Let's try and get to the truth. It's still so hard to find.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amy, you grew up being told that you couldn't be alone with your grandfather, Jimmy Lee. Couldn't take you to school, you know, couldn't watch you, couldn't take you to a movie by yourself. Your grandmother locked your bedroom door every night. It was just kind of those silent things that you just do because that's what you do. We don't really know why. It's not really explained until later in life. Obviously, hindsight is 20/20. You now have the gift of that looking back. I want to ask you, as you do look back on that from your own personal perspective, what does that kind of an upbringing to do to a child growing up inside that level of protection from something that you don't even know what you're being protected from?
It's really heavy to really go there and to dissect everything that I didn't know was happening and how close I was to someone who could be at any moment. I say in my book, like, I literally think that he could try to hurt anyone. He wanted to hurt anyone that he could, anyone that he had access to. And it blows my mind looking back at how that generation with my grandma and grandpa and that older generation, they didn't divorce. That wasn't something that was normal. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I just like, wow, I was around monsters and I had no idea. And I think that equals trust issues. Even as an adult, I struggle with trust issues because it's like, I couldn't trust a lot of people growing up, and now I can't trust even more. And that's something that I'm working through, but I'm the first one to be as honest as possible and just be real with you guys and just say, if anyone has trust issues, I got them. I got a couple of those, you know?
And you've earned your badge to have them. But identifying, I mean, that's half of the battle. Like saying, hey, you know what? Something's off here. We could do better. I shouldn't have to have these trust issues. And that's, I think, the shocking thing for a lot of families and a lot of people who grew up in those sort of environments. The pattern just perpetuates itself over and over, and nobody even realizes that they have trust issues because it's just the norm.
Yeah, well, you're not allowed to have trust issues. You're not allowed to ask questions of authority. You're not allowed to question what you've been taught at all. Even I was told growing up that if anyone is, you know, over me, all the adults love me, they protect me, and not to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't because I just, that's just how it was. I never thought to ask, like, how come that is the way that it is?
Do you think that, I mean, because you weren't as isolated, at least I didn't get the flavor from the book, that you were as isolated as your cousins were. Mm-hmm. And so when did you first start realizing in your own home that things are off? And what gave you the courage to kind of start asking those questions that no one else was allowed to ask?
It actually happened when I saw one of my cousins. I talk about in the book that she was, you know, this house, you guys, was like Christmas morning every day. Okay. It was so happy and peaceful, and the environment was welcoming, and you would have never thought anything was wrong ever. And it wasn't until I saw this girl, you know, my family member, someone I loved, holding her mouth closed to keep from crying so someone could hear her, rocking back and forth, you know, shaking out of control. And it wasn't until that moment that I was like, maybe not everything is so peachy keen in this family. Not everything is so golden. And when I asked those questions, I was the first, what happened the first moment is that I was gaslighted immediately. I had the trust issues. I had, I had the evil heart, the rebellious spirit. I had the problems, and that Amy, don't go down this line. You know, this, everyone loves us. We are America's favorite family. We are what we preach. You know, I don't know what you're talking about. I think you're crazy, really. And so I really had to, you know, I had a lot of hard problems with believing in myself in those moments, because here's someone that I'm supposed to respect, someone I'm supposed to look up to, the patriarch of the family. And when I have these questions, he's told me that none of it is true, and it's all in my head.
You know, and what struck me with that, Amy, first of all, how old were you when you, because I remember the incident so well in the book, but it's hard to get a time.
Early 20s. So I was like, 18 when I signed the contract. 19, right. 20 is when I started to be like, wait, what is going on here? And kind of, I don't know. I guess I was naive. Clearly, I just believed what I was told and what was, you know, being shown. And I put them on a pedestal too.
Mm-hmm. And so what I'm curious about, what, and this is, so the first really courageous thing, I mean, so many throughout the book, but you were willing to and able to go to Jim Bob directly and confront him with what was going on with his daughter. And you were willing to, so even after you got gaslighted and rebuffed at that and dismissed, you kept having the courage to go back and keep confronting him, I mean, very, very, very verbally sometimes. Yeah. Where did that come from? Where did that fight in you come from? When everyone else was get along, your mom, your grandma, everyone was get along and just acquiesce, even though your family wasn't IBLP, just a very good Christian family, but his was. What gave you that spark to break out, you think, from that mold that everyone else is supposed to conform to?
I wish I knew that answer.
It's a $20,000 question, right?
Yeah, I'm like just a little bit of a rattlesnake. I am going to stand up for like for right and wrong. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to be one of these that's going to be pushed aside or that you could pay off or that you can, you know, change my mind. I've always been that way. I guess I'm a little bit stubborn. I'm an only child, you know, and so I just have a different way of thinking than the rest of my family members do.
I love it because one of the other favorite quotes, I think it fits really good, is disrupt whatever challenges your peace.
Amen.
And he must have been challenging your peace.
I really felt that. It was a very like an easy feeling all the time over there. And I was like, man, what is going on? Like, I really like need to get it in check. So, like, what is going on?
So were you seeing, and that's a great question. I'm sorry, Tony, we'll love to go to
second. Yeah, sorry, Tony, I wasn't trying to interrupt you.
No, it's a great thing. So and what you just said is, so you're subliminally picking up on incongruencies. So were you getting like things were feeling off to you? So in other words, what we typically pick up on intuitively when we're an observer of the world and very present is an incongruence between words and underlying emotion. So they're saying one thing, but you're seeing some tension in the other. Were you picking up on that?
I was completely picking up on that. Yeah, there was one time that we were all around the piano and they only sing hymns, right? They're not allowed to listen to any kind of mainstream radio station at all. And we were by the piano and Josh was singing, it was a Christian song, but it was one on the radio. And I was like, you know that song? And he was like, oh, I know a lot. And I was like, wait, what? And in that moment, I was like, wait a second, what all does he know? But I couldn't ask that in that moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And we were just singing and whatever. And I was just like, wow, like maybe there's right there, there's more to the story.
So but
it felt really perfect. And perfect is scary because it doesn't exist. Perfectionism, yeah. it doesn't exist. And so for me, I was like, why is everything so good here? Like it just felt really off.
I'm curious about the feeling off, because you know a world of the Duggars before there were cameras, before all of the fame came in, before, you know, all of the offers, all of the, hey, will you use this product? And you wrote about that in your book and how that certainly can change a life very quickly. But that world before it was Christmas morning every day at that house, was it the same family? Was it the same atmosphere? Was Was it the same same thing that you saw once the cameras entered the existence of your family, the Duggars over there, prior to the first documentary being filmed?
I don't believe so. I think it definitely changed. I definitely think that the money changed, the fame changed, you know, the notoriety, all of the things. And like you said, collaborations and you know, just all kinds of product placement and all of that started taking place. I think that definitely had a play in how they feel maybe entitled in their life. You know, when they were younger, they were very frugal, and they probably, you know, maybe still are in some ways, but they did thrifting. They went to a discount grocery store. They stayed home a lot. We played outside all the time. Like, we had a really good family dynamic back then. But when cameras started coming around, even if cameras weren't even filming, I feel like my uncle would be like, "Hello, everyone." And like, there was no camera even around. And so it was like, are you just pretending? Like, what is always, always performing? And you're always held to such a level because you had to show up on camera, right? You always had to be on. You always had to have that smile on your face and be ready to ask any question or to film a certain scene or whatever. And so I think it really did mess with reality.
Let me ask you the same. I'm trying to understand kind of the genesis of Jim Bob's Control, because he came from, you know, obviously a very controlling environment in a different way, with his father, the alcoholism, the infidelity of his father, the violence, all of that. I mean, it's a crazy world. And when you come out of something like that, we see a lot of times people also get into a very controlling life as an adult, because not necessarily that they're trying to repeat that pattern, but because they're trying to prevent that pattern from repeating itself. But in the same way sometimes, and I'm wondering if you feel this way about Jim Bob, in your opinion, if he's really repeating the pattern in a very different way. He's not necessarily, you know, the alcoholic or unfaithful or any of that, but more so the control of the family to such an extreme level, with that diehard grip like his own father had. But he's steering it in his direction, and he's not seeing just how damaging what he's doing is to the family, and the repercussions that take place for sheltering everyone to the level that he has, and all of the choices that he has made, steering his family in the direction that he probably truly thinks is right. I don't think he went into this, "Let's create a bunch of," but I'm wondering if it's a byproduct of taking that control and shifting it another direction, rather than shifting life to more of the middle, to more of the gray area, not the extreme this way, not the extreme that way, but where peace and sensibility and reasonable live in the middle.
No, Tony, I think you are right on cue here. I think that my mom and my uncle grew up in a very unhealthy, unstable environment in all kinds of ways. So my grandpa was not an alcoholic. His grandpa was. Mm-hmm. And it trickled down to where I don't know what happened in his life when he was younger, but he had a ton of anger. And my grandpa was extremely angry. Mm-hmm. So and he would get angry in the drop of a hat, no matter what it would be. And he would act like a child. So he also didn't provide for his family. And so my grandma was the breadwinner. My grandma did those things. And so I do think my mom and Jim Bob grew up in a very, just like, they had to have some kind of control, right? They had to have some kind of, they had to do something different in their life when they got older. And I do think that I don't think he was trying to like create monsters.
No.
or like start this whole thing or be a part of a cult. I don't think that's really where his head was. Right. I think he saw this as like a great way to be with a loving family and to do God's, you know, the godly thing. And to have I don't think he had those like horrible intentions in mind. But I do think the control factor has like gotten a hold on him. And I think generational trauma is so real. Yeah. And I think because there was so much control from my great-grandpa, control from my grandpa, control on my mom and him that he just went with it and ran with it. And now it's just like something, it's like rolling down the hill. It can't be stopped.
Why do you think IBLP spoke to Jim Bob more than it did to your mom? I mean, they both came from the same, you know, world to a certain extent. Obviously, they were both victimized in very different ways. But why do you think that is? Why was that the beacon of light for Jim Bob and it wasn't so much for your mom?
That's a really good question. I wish I knew that answer. I can't really speak for him, but mm-hmm. I just think for me, I think he saw stableness, right? Mm-hmm. He saw like a loving family, lots of kids, everyone was happy. And I think it brought something into him about what he didn't have in his childhood. And so he probably dreamt of that. And it just looked really pleasing. And he was just like, you know, this is something that I'm going to start having in my home and start, you know, just entering everybody and everybody can come to my house and it'll be just one big, happy, loving thing. There's just so many problems with the IBLP that we can discuss. I'm sure we'll get there. I'm sure we'll get there.
And riffing off of that one, you can definitely see, you know, how we're laying this up of the attraction that Jim Bob had towards IBLP because of the control, because of wanting this kind of loving family and what all the propaganda was put out there. What I'm also curious about is when one thing goes severely south with Josh, a healthy person says, we got to reevaluate. We got to take a deeper look at this. And we have self-correcting mechanisms. We have, you know, when you don't have a hierarchy and structure, which is only one person at the top that makes all decisions without a loving critic saying, hey, we need to really reflect on this, grow, advance, modify our belief system and make it better for the rest of our kids. That's what healthy people do. Yet he didn't. What is it that kept him seemingly from the outside in, because we're not him. What's it? How come there doesn't seem to be any self-correcting mechanism in here when now he has one convicted and the other severely accused of exactly the same thing?
That's a really, really good question. I honestly believe it has a lot to do with maybe cash flow. Think about it. When he was on the show, he was probably making millions. That's what's estimated. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want that to go away. That's a lot of mouths to feed. There's a lot of things have to happen in order to keep that household running. Okay. Regardless of anything else. And so I think he saw an opportunity to be like, I don't have to deal with this right now. And I can put it under the rug and everything's going to be, you know, hunky dory right now. And then we can just make our millions and then we can discuss this maybe later on. Or maybe not at all. Maybe it was too much for him and he didn't even want to. He acted like it didn't even exist, you know, like out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so long you can run from something like that. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, it has to be addressed. And there's a lot of ways it could be addressed. And from a family that has, you know, millions of people watching them, millions of people looking at them, thinking they're a shining example of how a family should work and good Christian values and all of that, you know, without truly knowing the depths of what's going on there and how different their belief system is than the average Christian family in America.
This is not Christianity.
No, not at all. But so many
cherry picked. Like
so
you said,
many people would watch it though, and they wouldn't look deeper. They would just say, "Well, I believe in Jesus too. They must be just like me," without ever doing the homework, without ever digging deeper. Not that TLC presented much deeper than what we saw.
But I was going to say that TLC did not present deeper. They did not show the IBLP principles.
No,
they did not show any of that on the show. Mm-hmm. So you just saw a loving family, all smiling, having dinner, everyone's getting along, you know, no issues at all. And everyone was like, wow, how do they do it?
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if they actually put that graphic up of the umbrella on TLC? The show would go nowhere.
That wouldn't have worked. Yeah, yeah.
That is so funny. That wouldn't have worked out.
So they had selective memory on that as well.
When we're talking about all of that, of basically putting this under the rug, we'll deal with it in-house, you know, nobody needs to know about this, all of that. And obviously, it continues on and it gets worse. Eventually we end up in this situation, they end up in this situation here where he gets arrested for the material on his computer. And I know you had a computer that you had gotten secondhand as well that had some interesting content on. Thank God you didn't dig deeper into that.
I did not want to.
But the fact where these, you know, biblically, trials and tribulations, if you will, come to light. It could have been a window and an area where they could have shown. They could have used this as, this stuff happens to family. I mean, your odds are fairly good with 19 children that one of them's going to be into something horrible, just playing the odds. And the fact that there was at least the one that it could have been used as a, okay, this is how we're going to deal with this situation, hold and stand for accountability. Instead, that's the exact opposite of what they did. It was circle the wagons, deny, deflect, not take accountability for it. I mean, we're still seeing Josh in prison making insane statements. Like, nobody asked for your opinion, Josh.
I know. Joseph. I'm like, who's giving him any kind of idea? Who's saying no. Make a statement?
It's tone deaf.
To do that? It is.
It's tone deaf.
Anyone is holding weight to his words.
No, I mean, how much of a missed opportunity do you think it was for that family? I mean, now it seems like, you know, everything is imploding. The wheels are coming off. People are talking, and really the country is not, you know, all warm and fuzzy about this idea anymore. What a missed opportunity. Do you think that was something, though, that was even entertained or considered or thought of, or is it just immediately circle the wagons and do not give in, do not address the problems that we currently have? And do they even look at these things as problems, or is it looked at as something of less
Don't
gravity?
Stir up the brethren.
There it is. Yeah. So I honestly believe that they think that this is just going to strengthen their faith. It is something that is going to, right now they're being tested and they're going to show their faith in how they, come together as a family and they're united and they're going to trust Jesus through it all and that they are going to support their son. They're going to love their son through this.
And you can do that, but you don't. This ain't the way to handle it, though.
No. Listen, they've had so many missed opportunities to be real with the community and the world and with the media. And, you know, I've seen so many statements that are like, we have no idea what's being said. I've had so many lies being told to me. It's not even funny. And so it's just lie after lie after lie after lie, which makes my honest opinion think that he must be a one big fat liar, if you will, just someone that doesn't know how to tell the truth anymore.
And how does he come to terms with that, Amy? Because so here, one of the main doctrines of IBLP is to not lie. And yet he does it so frequently with no accountability for it. How do you think he's getting past that? How does anyone in the family allow him to get past that without challenging it? Again, no, because then you'll be outside the umbrella of protection and bad things can happen. I mean, it's such a cyclical route, but for him, how do you think someone that started, we'll always assume he started with such great intentions of what he was attempting to do, how can he rationalize for himself all the lies he's telling?
I think a pathological liar doesn't live in reality.
They
create their own sense of being and who they are and what they're surrounding. And so I honestly think that he doesn't see the severity of any of these situations. I'll be honest with you, the IBLP language in itself, they lessen the language. They lessen the language in order to not let the actual crimes be so heavy and so huge. And so they'll call it like a stumble or a little
moral failing.
A moral failure. Yeah, they'll call it all these things, or like they had, just a moment of weakness. And it's like, y'all are so So delusional. So delusional.
Let's talk about delusion a little bit. I'm curious. I know for your own mental health, you try to only consume so much of this. And I keep doing that. I don't blame you. Have you heard any of the phone calls between Kendra and your cousin while he was in jail?
Listen, those are painful.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. I cannot.
I listened to another one today, and I'm just like, what the hell is going on here? I mean, the level of seemingly mental distance that Joseph seems to have from what, and I know we can't discuss them on the phone. That's a bad idea. But it seems to be like there's nothing going on here. Like, it's just, oh, we'll figure this out. We'll have some mac and cheese for dinner later. How are you doing? As she's like breaking down, getting IVs, breathe and walk.
Isn't that crazy?
And he's just like, I found some psalms.
It's almost like he's excited to have a ministry from this. I mean, just like,
it's like he found his calling.
Listen, the moment that they step into a jail cell and they like are, you know, handprinted and all the things, and they're so like holly jolly, I'm like, do you know what is going on? Like, I literally want to like question his IQ in those moments because it makes no sense. And yes, I agree with you. It is cream puffs and rainbows. And I'm like, whoa, like, you're probably going away for a very long time. And this is not a ministry. This is sick. You're never going to be like released back into society. Like, I don't understand how I don't understand. I heard that Kendra was at an amusement park yesterday.
I heard that too.
Yeah,
allegations that she was at Silver Dollar City. Yeah, like your kids are.
Silver Dollar City, but your kids are not even with you. You're like, let me tell you something. If my kids were not with me, I would be so brokenhearted in like a mental state. Like, you better lock me up because I would not be okay. I don't understand the level of just like,
you have to be positive. You have to put the sweet voice on. No negative emotions.
Well, I'm wondering that's what troubles me too. Is there doesn't seem to be a lot in these conversations about the children, about their well-being, just anything about it whatsoever. And I am wondering. I mean, I'm wondering about the connection between the Duggars and children. And I'm not trying to speak about this in, obviously there's already these horrible allegations and the charges, but more so just the emotional bond that a parent has with their kids. When you have 19 kids, it's going to be difficult to have an emotional bond that's really tight with 19 kids. You know, it's difficult with a few. I have one, and it can be challenging on some days.
I have one well, and I love it.
And it's like, oh my goodness, I can't imagine, you know, being able to be there to the level a parent truly wants to be for 19 of them. So I get that there's some distance there, but it was the way that it's structured, it's almost like the children are made for going out and doing the bidding of the IBLP into the world. It's not so much you're raising kids because you love them and you care about them, who they are and their dreams and their ambitions, and let's help them get there. It's they have a job. Focus on them having that job and doing that. So I'm wondering if that creates, and that's my opinion of it, but I wonder if that creates or has created a bizarre dynamic with Kendra and Joseph with their own children, just repeating, at least Joseph repeating the same cycle of how he was raised, kind of hands off. His older sisters are the ones that are raising him, not so much mom and dad. They're there as figureheads, but there isn't that tight connection. And if you don't experience that tight connection as a child, it may be a little difficult to form that with your own children. Not for everybody, but for some people, it certainly can be. And that's obviously how these cycles perpetuate themselves. But I'm trying to figure out in my mind, wrap my brain around how she could allegedly be at the amusement park when her kids are in child protective services. Her husband's he's released now.
Allegedly.
But allegedly on everything. I'd be in the corner. I'd be in the corner shaking for my children. Yeah. And she's, you know, going on the barnstormer allegedly. I don't know. I mean, it's just I can't get that, but I'm trying to put myself in their shoes, and I'm wondering, is that my long-winded question? Is that the explanation? There just isn't that type of connection there that a lot of us have with our own children, or we think of with our own children, because that's just not how the ecosystem works here with the Duggars.
So the ecosystem there is very different. And I will just tell you this. They spend a lot of quality time one-on-one with their child on their birthdays.
Ooh.
On their birthdays.
What a present.
What a gift.
You get Joseph Duggar for your birthday.
But yeah, I do think there's a disconnect. Think about it. I can't imagine having 19 kids and all of them have emotions and things they're working through. And I don't even know. I don't know. I have the same questions. I think that Kendra was loved as a child. I think she had that wonderful dynamic with her mom and her dad. I hope so. You know, I've never met Joe and Kendra's kids. I left before they had kids because I realized what the heck all of this was. And I was like, see ya. Like, this is so unhealthy. This is so ungodly. I want nothing to do with this system. I want nothing to do with it. And yeah, I'm sorry, but
no, go ahead, Amy.
No, you're good. And so I haven't met them, but I definitely see a disconnect. I definitely see how they're just like, they're like made for the Lord's army, you know, raising up these kids, and these other kids are raising these other kids. They have buddy systems. And so, like, I don't understand. Like, are they being cuddled? Are they being cared for the way that, like, a parent should care for their children? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that answer is.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. You know, one of the things that you did a really good job of in the book, too, is kind of talking about that dynamic. I mean, you used to be able to go over during school when they're being homeschooled and playing, yep. You know, going across the field. I thought those great descriptions. Yeah. It sounded like a lot of fun for you. But what's interesting is so the IBLP system and Jim Bob's household was so controlled, so structured, yet the children were the free-range children with zero control. I mean, it was such an interesting dichotomy about how you have centralized control but decentralized employment of it.
With a side of natural selection.
Robin, yeah. I cannot even begin to tell you guys how many times those kids could have gotten hurt. There was one time
kill themselves.
There was one time that literally, like, I saw a little girl almost put her hand in the air conditioning fan. Like, her hand would have been completely gone. Like, I've seen these kids act like wild monkeys before. So, yeah, they have this rule that, yes, we love our kids. Sure, we're going to protect our kids, but only to a certain extent because God's going to protect our kids.
Right.
God's going to protect our kids. And so I've seen them roam, like, in fields before, little ones roaming in fields, you know, and not worried about, I don't know, a snake or poison ivy or an actual, like, you know, it's wild to me how they are very much so godly, and the whole IBLP system is really, really messed up because they believe that kids will be watched, but no one is watching them.
But don't use the God-given skills that you have to be a parent to your children watch out for them and guide the children and lead the children, which I believe is kind of what Jesus talked about doing. It wasn't like, hey, go out to the wild boars in the field and good luck.
It's like, you know, because, you know, you talk about in the book about how they train kids to get over their natural inclinations and curiosity by slapping it out of them, basically. It's like they did the same thing to parents. Your natural inclination is to parent your kid, but no, they beat it out of you. It's like, don't do that. Let them roam free.
Don't do that. Yeah.
So what do you think sucked Kendra into this, saying this is a great idea? Because you can see her on these phone calls keeping that happy voice as she's falling apart physically. Her body is telling her, this is completely crazy. Excuse my language.
No, I agree.
What drew her in?
I mean, probably to be a part of the family. In order to be a part of the family, you know, the women have to be meek and mild and silent, and you have to show God's love in every word you say. And I don't understand the whole sweet talk. I've never done that. I think it's absolutely the craziest like, it's just not natural. It's just not natural. Speak the way God made you to speak. Use your own tone, you know? And listen, I don't know. Anna still does it. Kendra still does it. They all do it. If I could get a hold of them, I would. They don't listen to me. I have tried until I'm blue in the face to be like, hello. But I am the one that's the outsider because I'm not a part of their world.
You're the and holy so disruptor.
I'm the holy disruptor. They're not going to listen to me. You,
Amy Duggar King there in our first part of our conversation with Robin Drake. Her book, Holy Disruptor, available wherever books are sold. I highly recommend getting it. Part two is coming up next. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of that. In part two, we're going to dive deeper into what the family knows and won't say. There's a lot here to dive into. Again, press subscribe so you do not miss that. And leave us your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
On a Monday phone call from a jail cell, Kendra Duggar broke. She was crying, telling Joseph, the husband, facing some of the most serious charges a person can face, that she had to put the kids first. That's a good thing, right? She couldn't be there for him the way she wanted. That the people around her, the ones she called my coaches, which is interesting and creepy all into itself, meaning the Duggars themselves, were telling her to take care of herself so she could make good decisions for her children. She said her priorities were the kids and that the only thing she was able to focus on was them. She told him she wasn't well. She could barely eat. She could barely stand. And in that moment on that call, Kendra sounded like a mother who was starting to see her situation clearly. Then the week played out. And I'm not saying this to criticize Kendra, because I believe she is a huge victim in this story. And those close enough to her, I hope, are helping her get back to seeing the light, the reality of the situation that she is living in. Because as the week played out, by the next call, she was telling Joseph about spending a whole day hanging out with Katie. Jessa came by to visit. They went on an ATV ride with a family member, blasting worship music. Who doesn't do that on the ATV? She and Joseph were having a great time one evening, laughing about something silly. Joseph then started sending her psalms, telling her to listen to them, telling her he was praying them over and over and replacing the pronouns with her name. She sent him worship song lyrics about the enemy whispering, reframing his charges as a spiritual attack, not a consequence. And when she laughed or managed to eat a meal, the people around her told her that it was God's grace pouring out on her, not her own resilience, not her own strength. It's God's grace that you're able to eat. Because in that system, Kendra is not allowed to own the facts that she is tougher than anyone has ever told her that she is. It's always, it's something else that's giving you the power. It's God. It's the Duggars. It's anything but you having your own autonomy or strength or decision-making power. Her children are in state custody, and her days are filled with ATV rides and psalms and family visits and worship music. Every minute scheduled, every silence filled. So she never has to sit long enough to think about what is actually happening. She has a window. The people around her seemingly have closed it. This, what we're talking about here, is about opening that window. If you're on the outside, if you're on the inside, and you want to do something good, help this woman escape. Help this woman get out of the clutches of the coercive control the Duggars are blanketing over her. I want to talk directly to Kendra, and I want any woman listening who recognizes what I'm about to describe not from a documentary, but from her own life. Because this really applies to more than just Kendra. Anyone who is in this sort of a lifestyle, in this sort of a situation that they find themselves in. Look, we all get into weird situations in life. We get into situations that don't seem weird. They seem like life. They seem like the next path, the next place to go. This is good. This is right. This is righteous. This is God's will. And then sometimes when the light gets shown on it, you're like, oh, ooh, this doesn't seem so much like godliness to me. What the Duggars are doing right now is not evil because they're monsters. It's dangerous because they genuinely believe this is how you help someone. You surround her. You fill her days. You keep her inside the family. You give her scriptures and sisters-in-law and activity and reassurance. You tell her God has a plan. And you never, not once, encourage her to sit alone in a quiet room and ask herself what she actually wants. No. You fill in those blanks and you tell them this is what God wants, right? This is Jesus-y. This is... Kendra described it on one of the calls. The whole family has departments, she said. Some are working on the kids. Some are working on her mom. Some are working on the attorney. Some are working on the business. She said it like it was comfort. And I guess if you're caught up in that system, maybe it kind of is. Like it proved they loved her and it wasn't just some sort of lever of control that they're all pulling because that's the roles they've been bred and basically brainwashed to execute. They don't know what they're doing. They just think this is what you do. This is support. This is love. As if the person, the umbrella holder above them that says, this is how you do it. This is how we do it, is the way to do it. Well, just like Montel, never coming back on an old school track. It's time to change the track. It's time to look at life for what it is, for the sake of your children, for your own future, for their well-being, for them not to grow up in a world where they think this is normal. Because it's not. And it's not healthy. It's not only not normal, it's not healthy. It's not safe. There's a track record, a very dark, dark track record, not only of the immediate family that you are surrounding your children and yourself with, but of the people they surround themselves with. That's a scary track. It's a scary track filled with a lot of predators, a lot of predatory behavior towards children. Is this where you want your kids to live? You gotta ask yourself that. Let's go back to all of the roles, all of the functions, all the levers everybody's pulling because it's their jobs. What she's describing is an operation. And the operation's goal, whether anyone in that family would use this word or not, is to keep Kendra on a path that serves the family's interests, not hers, all in the name of God and righteousness and, you know, all of that. Kendra grew up in a conservative Baptist pastor's household. She was homeschooled, allegedly. Her father, Paul, led the church where she and Joseph met. She married at 19 and moved directly from her parents' home into her marriage, from what we understand. The world she was raised in did not teach women to navigate legal systems or financial systems or make major decisions independently. It wasn't quite as extreme as the Duggarville, but it was still, by most accounts, a version of, you know, Christian fundamentalism where things go a bit far. And it's not a criticism of Kendra. That is a description of the environment. And it means that right now, at the most critical moment of her life, she's relying entirely on the people around her to tell her what to do. And the people around her are the Duggars. She can't see the trap because it feels like love. And nobody has ever shown her the difference. There are some folks out there who can. There are some Duggar girls who have escaped. ones I very much respect, ones who've written some great books, ones who could provide some guidance. I guess the trick here is going to be probably trying to get to her and get that guidance there in a way that isn't immediately shut down by the family. Or Kendra herself, viewing it as blasphemous. That's a scary situation to be in, where certain pieces of information just cannot get through, because the second someone hears them, they have been trained, they have been brainwashed their entire life, that is the enemy. If it goes against what Jim Bob says, if it goes against the Duggar way of thinking and the way that they have taught, then it is the enemy. That literally is it. I mean, it's not just that someone's disagreeing with the father, your father-in-law, or the family, or anything. It's disagreeing with God. That's how it is viewed. And I'm here to tell you, Kendra, that is utter bullshit. Utter bullshit. That's not how it works. God doesn't give human beings the power of God. He doesn't give human beings the power to dictate exactly how things should be or how he feels about things or how his word should be interpreted. No, that's all man. That's all human. And judging by the folks who have taken up that task in their life, do you think they're doing a very good job at it? Because I'd say most of the world who looks at these people, most real, you know, Christians, if you will, God-fearing folks who aren't touching their kids, they look at these people and go, charlatans, fake, false prophets, misguided, misled, cult members. That's how some people feel. A lot of people feel. And if you really line up the teachings and the way of thinking and you parallel that and you line it up to the ways cults function, you're going to find a very interesting correlation. And it's not a place any healthy person would choose to raise a family. So here it is, a guide, not an accusation, not a prosecution. Just a clear-eyed look at what getting out actually looks like step by step. First, your attorney. Kendra told Joseph on a call that she asked Travis Story to be her lawyer. She said it was her choice. She said it was only for her. And maybe Travis is doing good work on her behalf. I'm not here to judge Travis's work, but there's a question worth asking. Does my attorney answer only to me? Would he advise me to cooperate against Joseph if that was best for my case and my children, even if it hurt the Duggar family? I'm not here to tell you how Travis is going to work. I'm sure he's a lovely attorney. I'm sure he's ethical and does his job. Without a doubt. But there are such things as conflicts of interest. And if your interest is not to stay in the Duggar clan, he may not be the man for you. That would be a conflict of interest, having done work for this family in the past, and I was going to be your attorney. And if your interest is not necessarily them, that constitutes what is called a conflict of interest. There's nothing wrong with this attorney by any means. It's just that's how these things work. If your interest is not to support that family anymore, your interest is in your children and your own autonomy and your own freedom and your own way of life and your own way of thinking and your own life, then I don't know that he's the man for you. Again, not saying anything bad. I'm sure he's a lovely attorney. But that would be a conflict of interest, in my opinion. That's my opinion. And you want to make sure that who's ever going to be in your legal circle in this fight that you are going to have to face, whether you like it or not, no matter how kid glovey or how many cushions the Duggars seem to put on the walls to make you think, oh, it's okay, we're going to handle this. We got our family attorney here, somebody who's handled, you know, other family members' stuff, that may not be your best option. It is time to grow up, and it is time to start making those decisions. You've already had multiple children. I mean, come on. You are a grown-up. You are an adult woman. it's time to start acting like one. And it's time to start making choices for yourself and not just have them handed to you or told to you. And then you act like, oh, this is what I truly want. Because let's be honest. Is it? Do you even know? Do you even know? And it's not your fault if you don't. But if your kids look back at you someday, and they will, 10, 20 years from now, they go, Mom, why did you make those choices? Why did you stay in this? Look at all these people. Look at these people that have been violated by these people. Why did we stick around? Are you going to have a good answer for them? Well, that's what they told me to do, so I did it. And you know, I can say there's no shame in that. There is. There is a lot of shame in that. There's a lot of shame in that. Like, well, I didn't know any better. And you know what? You may be at that point right now, but the only way to know better is to learn. So plenty of things we have in life that we do not know better at until we learn, until we educate ourselves. And as far as I can tell, you don't have any sort of developmental disabilities that affect your learning ability, your ability to have your own choices and your own autonomy and to make those choices effectively for your own self-interest. That's on you. You have that power. You do. It's not just what God wants or speaks through an umbrella that tells his kids, and then they tell you on ATV rides as you sing praises as your children are being taken care of by strangers because the government said, you know what? Don't look too safe. And you know what? In this case, the government's right. The current way of thinking, the current way of living that you've been under, it ain't safe. It ain't right. It's not godly. It's not ethical. It's not moral. It's not safe. Do you want to fix that? Do you want the kids back? Do you want to raise them from a much stronger standpoint from where you have come from? Because this can be a huge redemption story. This can be a huge moment in life of, yes, I was here, and then I found my voice, then I found my strength, then I found out who I really am, and I found out who God really is too. No one's asking you to get rid of your belief or your religion. Plenty of the Duggar still have it. They just have a balanced version of it, a version of it that actually truly reflects the Bible far more than the Duggar edition. But again, that's up to you. You have plenty of people in this circle. Outside of the compound that you're being kept on, that can help you, can get you out, and can get you on a path to freedom. It exists. You just have to pull the lever. You can. Will you, I guess, is the question. So let's look at that attorney again. Is he the best choice for you? Would he advise you to cooperate against Joseph if that was best for your case and your children, even if it hurt the Duggar family? If the answer is uncertain on your part, even slightly, You owe it to yourself to get a second opinion from an attorney who has no history with this family at all. Not to replace Travis necessarily, just to hear what an outside perspective sounds like. Because you're probably going to hear about the same things I just said. Legal aid organizations exist in Arkansas. Domestic violence advocacy groups that specialize in coercive control exist. Family law attorneys who work with women in exactly this situation, women who have been isolated, women who have never navigated the system alone, exist. You don't need anyone's permission or anyone's money to make that phone call. You don't. I can almost guarantee probably anyone in Northwest Arkansas, any attorney worth a grain of salt who realized that you were calling them would certainly talk with you free of charge and be there to help you. You just have to find the right one. But you can do it. It takes a little work. But again, like I said, too, there's other folks. There's other family members who've escaped. You have attorneys in your actual extended family, too, that have escaped. You could find it. That's the key. You could find it if you want to look. But again, the choice is up to you. Second, you got to show the courts you're serious. And this is very important. Based on the public reporting about how DCFS cases work in Arkansas, a mother in Kendra's position needs to demonstrate that the children are the priority. So you need to do that. Not just say it on a Monday phone call, but actually live it visibly. That means going home to the address you gave the court when you were released on bail. Getting the house in order, pursuing employment or stability, taking concrete, visible steps to separate yourself from Joseph's case. If you're staying close to the case, the odds of getting your children back, not so great. The court and DCFS need to see a mother who is pulling her children above her marriage, above the family, above loyalty. According to reporting from people experienced with the Arkansas foster care system, the criminal case typically needs to resolve before DCFS can move towards any sort of reunification. That could take a while. So, it could be years that you don't see your kids if you choose to stand by your man. Authorities reportedly aim to make a custody determination within about a year of removal. Every day spent on someone else's couch, surrounded by the family the court is already scrutinizing, works against that timeline, works against you, Kendra. Third, get some real help, not church counsel. Reporting from the calls and from sources close to the case suggests DCFS's concerns about Kendra's mental health that are currently unaddressed. It sounds like you need some counseling. If you stay under the Duggar umbrella based on how this system operates, if history is any prediction of the future, you're going to be steered away from secular therapies because they don't believe in it. It's witchcraft to them. You've probably been told that. You may believe that. I'm here to tell you it's not. It's the furthest thing from witchcraft. Away from medication, away from any care that doesn't route through their framework. The calls that have been happening show it's already happening. When Kendra has a moment of strength, the people around her tell her that God's working through her, not her own capability. When she talks about her mental health, it circles back to Scripture. The Lord's working through the IVs you're taking, Kendra. I mean, come on. No person should be having to take IVs who is healthy just to get by. Your body is failing you. Because it knows the immense pressure and stress and chaos that you are being put through by these people. You need a therapist who works for you, someone licensed, someone who can help you process what happened to you and your family without weaponizing faith to keep you compliant. You don't need drives on the ATV singing scripture songs. You need competent mental health help. You need someone who can look you in the eye and say, you are strong enough to do this on your own, because you are. You just haven't been allowed to believe in it. Of course, believing in oneself is probably a sin in the Duggar land. It's not. The other part, nobody inside that house will ever tell her, because it threatens everything they've built. The women who left this family didn't just survive. They built lives that would have been unimaginable inside the system. Jill Dillard left. She and her husband, Derek, who is an attorney, by the way, Kendra. I don't know them personally by any means, but I'm sure they would reach out their hand to help. And not that he can necessarily be your attorney. That might also be a conflict of interest, being family. I'm not quite sure. I'm not an attorney, but I'm sure he could help lead you to someone who could help you. He's the one who confronted Jim Bob about the television earnings that he had withheld from his own children. Jim Bob reportedly responded by sending Jill an itemized bill for the cost of raising her. You know, like great dads do. Let me send you a bill for raising you.
What a God.
Who does that? She fought anyway. She reportedly received $175,000. She wrote a memoir called Counting the Cost. She appeared on the Amazon documentary, Shiny Happy People. She built a platform, a career, and financial independence on her own terms. She did all of that while raising children and rebuilding her understanding of faith from the ground up. You have a blueprint in front of you. A blueprint that will help you do the same. Ginger left. She wrote Becoming Free Indeed, built brand partnerships, bought a home. Her husband, Jeremy, has said publicly that as a minister, he earns nothing, meaning Ginger is the one generating the household's income. She became the primary earner, allegedly, in her family after being raised in a system that told her a woman's only purpose was submission. Again, another example right there of it being done. They're not wicked. They're not sinful, evil human beings. They are survivors, just like you can be as well. Because you really have a choice here. You can become a survivor. You can be a victim and just go along and see where the road takes you. Or you can be complicit and compliant, which may land you in prison. Prison for loving God and the Duggars? Well, that's, I know they've told you, I'm sure that's wickedness, that's the enemy coming in, that's the world. It's what you're going to have to suffer as being a believer. That's bullshit. Plenty of believers don't end up in prison for being complicit in harming their children. It's never part of the equation. Amy Duggar King left as well. Hi, Amy. I know she's been checking out some of her stuff, as has her mom. Hi, guys. I'd love to talk. Please, let's communicate off the air. She wrote Holy Disruptor without a ghostwriter, hit number one on Amazon in multiple categories, built an advocacy platform dedicated to helping others escape toxic family systems and generational cycles of abuse. That's wonderful. It's like paying it forward. She said publicly that disrupting deception is a holy act. It is. The Bible does talk about false prophets, about being deceived by people, wolves in sheep's clothing. I got news for you. In my opinion, and many opinions, you're living in a wolf den right now. Yeah, they got a lot of very convincing sheep outfits that they wear, don't they? They look like lamb chops. These women found a version of faith that didn't require them to be silent, obedient, and complicit. And every one of them will tell you the same thing. The hardest part wasn't the leaving. It was believing they were allowed to. Kendra, your story told on your own terms with your own representation and your own voice could be the most significant one yet. Not because of sensationalism, because thousands of women are trapped in the exact same kind of system, and most of them, they never heard someone like them say, I got out and here's how. That story could provide financial independence you have never had. Just your story. There are publishers, there are people, and yes, someone is going to make money on this story. Yourself included, if you'd like. That's not a sin, that is survival. And you've earned it. You've gone through this shit show with these people. If you can make some money on your story, not to be greedy, but to survive because you need it to get out, take that. This is not a story of exploitation. This is a story, like I said, of survival, and it's a story of hope for others, should you choose to make it that. Or it'll be a story of being railroaded and run over by the people who you thought loved you, who you thought cared for you and had your best interests at heart, but at the end of the day, either made you part of the machine as well, and you can continue to live how you're living, really, in perpetuity, in delusion, in coercive control, or you can get out and have a story that can inspire millions of other women. That credibility built on your own experience, a platform that helps other women find the exit. Publishers are interested. Documentary producers are interested. Advocacy organizations are interested. And the money, based on what Jill and Ginger and Amy have built, could set you and your children up for a life that doesn't depend on Jim Bob's checkbook or Joseph's name or anyone else's permission. Because I got news for you. That well's starting to run dry. None of that happens from inside that house. None of that happens while every minute of your day is filled by people who need you to stay quiet for their well-being. And none of that happens on anyone's timeline but yours. I want to come back to that Monday call. The woman who was crying and telling Joseph the kids had to come first. Who said she wasn't well. Who said she had to do anything and everything for her children. That woman was right. The instinct she had in that moment before the family filled her week with ATV rides and psalms and visits to worship lyrics about the enemy. That was her, not God's grace. Though God may well have been in it. Her own mind, her own motherhood, her own clarity. She's allowed to trust that instinct. She's allowed to walk into a legal aid office without telling anyone. She's allowed to call an advocacy organization and ask questions. She's allowed to see a therapist who isn't approved by the family. She's allowed to go home, clean her house, get a job, and show the court that her children matter more than anything. She's allowed to tell her story and get paid for it. She's allowed to build something that belongs to her. The Caldwells, her own family, the one Joseph reportedly spent months turning against her, appear to have drawn a clear line publicly as well. But according to reporting, that line is against Joseph, not Kendra. That door hasn't closed. Kendra, your family appears to be waiting for you to come back. And the door out of this system is right there. It has always been there. You just have to believe you're allowed to open it. Somebody who loves her needs to make sure she hears that. Before the next ATV ride, before the next psalm, before her next sister-in-law fills another afternoon, before the window that opened on that Monday call closes for good. She's allowed. Let her be and let her make the choices she needs to make for her own well-being and her children. And if you're close enough, reach out a hand and help her see it. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love to get them and continue our conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's Best Deal Ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the rest disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.